Again, I heartily welcome tonight to the gospel meeting. Before we read from the scriptures, we'll just bow and ask God's help for our gospel meeting. Shall we pray? Our Father, we would just bow now in your ever-worthy and precious name. We thank thee that you have the power to save. We thank thee that you have made a provision whereby all can come to the knowledge of their sins all forgiven, and to know that they have a home in heaven. And what a night it would be if someone started traveling home to heaven above, as we were singing about. Nothing more important to know in this lifetime. So we just pray to this end in the name of thy Son. Amen. It's very warm evening. I was just thinking on the short drive over from Sally's, if we were heading out to the old hall, a lot of you will remember the old hall and how hot it would be on a night like this. The windows would be open, I don't really know why, letting in more warm air, and the fans would be blowing full blast, and some people would be sweating, and some people would be kind of complaining about the heat, but our heat doesn't last too long, really. First thing you know, I guess I am a pessimist. I said to somebody this morning, first thing you know, we'll be complaining about the cold. So, with that in mind, it's a nice evening, and it will be a better evening, as we're already singing about if someone started for heaven tonight on that road that leads to heaven. We're going to read in three places tonight. The first one is found in Ecclesiastes. It's in the Old Testament. It's just after Proverbs, Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, and there's the last chapter, chapter 12. Ecclesiastes chapter 12, and we'll read it. We'll read verse 1. It says, "Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, before the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them." So just that phrase at the very first of that verse, remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth. And then there's another phrase down in verse 5, if you would just look down toward the end of verse 5. It says, "Man goeth to his long home, and the mourners go about the streets." Man goeth to his long home. Let's read over in the New Testament now, the Gospel of Luke. We're going to read here about two men who left this world. They died, they passed away, and each one of them went to their long home. There were different homes or different places. So Luke chapter 19 and verse, or 16 and verse 19, sorry, Luke chapter 16 and verse 19 says, "There was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate full of sores, and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus, that he may dip the tip of his finger in water, and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame." And then, over in the Gospel of John for six more verses, very well-known passage in the Gospel of John, chapter 14. John chapter 14, and we'll begin at verse 1. It's the Lord Jesus speaking. He said, Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Tremendous comfort, isn't it? Verse 4 says, and whether I go, ye know, and the way ye know. Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whether thou goest, and how can we know the way? Jesus said unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. So just for a few moments at the beginning of the meeting, I would just like to be able to hopefully in simplicity tell you tonight, if you're wondering about how to get to heaven, that tonight you might learn from the scriptures God's way of how to get to heaven. He has made a way, he has made a plan of escape, and a way whereby each and every one here can know that they are traveling home to heaven above. In John chapter 14 and verse 6 that we just read, the Lord Jesus said, I am the way to God. I am the truth of God, and I am the life of God. It's all dependent upon God. And I can thank God tonight that it does not depend on some other person, some other human being, because as many people as they are in the world, they would all have their own way. And what a mixed up path it would be if man was making the way to heaven. But God has made the way to heaven. He's opened the door whereby each and every one here can be in heaven at the end of life's journey. The first verse that I read with you tonight, it said, remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth. And it just kind of comes to mind now. One time, this is many years ago, I was speaking in the villa. And I don't know what possessed me. I was going to speak more, I guess, about death. But I started dwelling on remembering now thy Creator in the days of thy youth. Now, remember, this was at an old people's home. And I never think I do good up here. And that night, a very kind gentleman told me, he said, it was a good message, but it wasn't all that well suited for the setting. That was Lewis. And I never forgot it. He said, it's a little late to preach that message at the villa. Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth. But there are youth here tonight. And we can, there's no age that you have to be. You know, as the very young, there's probably people, I know there's little ones here tonight. And they're only 6, 7, 8, 9. And you know your sins are forgiven. You know God's way to heaven. And then there are people who probably don't get saved until middle-aged or later on. But when you're young, you would almost think that it's actually the opposite is true of what you'd think. When you're young, maybe you don't think of death too much. You don't think of eternal matters. But at the same time, it has been statistically shown that there's more youth that are saved than older people. And that's why it's so important to that we appreciate the Sunday school teachers and people that hold youth groups, because it's very important that you learn the truth of these matters when you're young, because there's far more people get saved when they're young than when they are old. And that's not to say you can't get saved when you're old. That's not what it means. But the older we get, I think the more difficult we make things. And you know where I'm coming from. If a young person, say your child or your grandchild, asks you a question when they're young, You know, even if you don't really know the right answer, you can tell them an answer and they'll go with it. They just take you at their word, at your word. And that's why it's so much easier, I believe, to trust the Savior, trust God's message of salvation when you're young, because you haven't learned to question things. Because when we get older, if that same child, if they're, you know, might be probably now and they're in their teens and they ask the same question and you give them an answer and they'll say, well, why is that? Gets a little more difficult. They're starting to wonder about things more. And then they're not satisfied with your answer. And if you do tell them the answer, and it could be the right answer, well, they might say, well, so-and-so, you know, that's not the answer they gave me. And they start to question things. So if you're here tonight and you're wondering about getting saved, the most important thing you can do is, in childlike simplicity, just accept God's word. God's word is final, and we don't have to question it. We shouldn't question it, but people all over the world, they question God's word. So it is important to remember that God cannot lie, and what he has spoken is 100% truth, and it will stand forever. In Ecclesiastes also, I read the phrase, man goeth to his long home. And that's speaking of the grave, and as we know from Scripture, the grave is not the end. I've heard people tell me right to my face, we die like a dog, and that's it. They might throw a little dirt over us, and that's the end of us. Well, it's like Brother Elwin said one time. He said they're going to have a rude awakening if that's the way they die, because the grave is not the end. We can see in the chart behind us, there's a place called hell and the lake of fire. That is one home, if we can call it a home. I don't want to call it a home, but it's a place. It's where the person who dies without being saved, that is where their long home will be. And then there's the place called heaven. And for each one who is saved by God's matchless grace, your eternal home, your long home, will be heaven. Now, there's quite a contrast in these two homes, these two places, isn't there? You know, I remember when we built, when I'm talking about a home, I'm not talking now so much, you know, I'm not talking about the house that's made out of wood and maybe they have masonry. You know, I'm not talking about a 4,500 square foot house with a 3-car garage, and that doesn't even hold all your possessions. And then, you know, a couple of years later, they build another 3-car garage. I'm not talking so much about that. I'm not talking about whether you have a dingy, little, damp, 180 square foot basement apartment. I'm not talking about that so much. But each of us, we like to have a place that we can call our place, just where we can kick off our shoes and put our feet up and call it our home. Heaven and hell, what a contrast. I know it's a poor contrast, a poor example, the 4,500 square foot mansion or the little dingy apartment. It's quite a contrast. Can you imagine the contrast between heaven and hell? We read that in Luke 16 that the man died, the rich man died, and it says, in hell he lift up his eyes, and what does it say? He was in torment. He was suffering. He was thirsty. He was crying. He was just begging for a drop of water to cool his parched tongue. But he never got it yet. That is the home that he went to, his long home. Both of these homes that I that I'm referring to, they're tremendous. They're both tremendous. But one is tremendously terrible, awful, tremendously horrible. And the other is tremendously wonderful. When the Apostle Paul was caught up to the third heaven, we read that he seen things that he couldn't even begin to explain. When people asked him what he saw, or when he tried to relay what he had seen, it was so wonderful that he didn't have the language, human language, to tell people what he saw. It's going to be tremendous, isn't it? Which place, do you know which place you are heading for? When you look at that chart, do you know which home that you are heading for? Well, if you're heading for the one that's tremendously awful, there is a way whereby you don't have to go there. The Lord Jesus said, I am the way. There's a place that God is preparing right now for each and every one who is on the way to heaven. And you know, I started to say, when we built Arlene and I, when we built our first home, I know she would have drew out what she wanted it to be like, and we built it according to the plan that we had drawn out. It wasn't back and dating myself a little bit, but we didn't have professionally drawn up plans for that house. We just kind of drew out on a piece of graph paper, and away we went. And we had lots of help, and we built our first house. We had all kinds of rooms in it. We had the dining room, the kitchen, the living room, the family room, and three bedrooms and bathroom. And we thought it was just it. But you know, it wasn't too long, and we'd have a few people over, and every time you'd have a few people over, and if you had more than a few people, my, this dining room seems a little tight, doesn't it? Be good if we took out those walls. And to me, that meant work, so I tried to, you know, I probably tried to discourage that. Well, you know, that's maybe going to be carrying a floor joist or two, or I tried to discourage it, but all the time I knew she was right. And so out came the dining room walls, opened it up. And then it wasn't too long, well, now that the dining room wall is open, that little archway going into the living room kind of makes that archway look small. Maybe that should be opened up. So, out comes the wrecking hammer again, and out comes another wall. So we get that all squared up. And then, you're standing at the kitchen, and you're looking at that wall that's going up the stairs. Wouldn't it be nice if that was opened up? You know, open it up more, and make the kitchen seem bigger, and the stairway, and we'll put a nice railing down there. So another wall come out. And I said, you know, if we ever build another house, we're going to build an open concept. So we did build another house, an open concept. A year after we moved in, I put a wall up. So Jesus is preparing a place for us. And it's going to be perfect. And it's going to be that way forever. What a place it will be, you know. There's people that recently have passed away, and they know they have a little taste right now of what it's like. I don't know if the Lord Jesus is letting them in on the planning, because the house is not done yet. I don't think this house will be done until the rapture. So maybe the ones that are in heaven are having a little say in how they want their little. I don't know. That's just hodgepodge, I guess. But it's going to be tremendous, and we'll never get tired of it, of our eternal dwelling place for those that are in heaven. And The Lord Jesus, you know, when you build a house, it comes at quite a cost, doesn't it? This day and age, I wouldn't even want to really, well, I have an idea because I know what houses sell for, you know, when you're looking at ads and this and that. There's quite a cost to building a house, and takes a lot of labor and a lot of planning, a lot of labor to get to that finished product. And the house that the Lord Jesus is building for each child of his, it hasn't come cheap. The Lord Jesus, he has provided the way. And you know, when we think of the way, when people, you know, we tell people, you know, the way to heaven is designed or is planned by God. It's told to us how. It's like a map. The Bible is a map, and it shows us how to get to heaven. And you know, there are people, and they say, "Oh, you guys are very exclusive. You think that you have the only way to heaven." Well, it is God's heaven, and he has provided a way. But it's for whosoever will. Like, how much more inclusive can it really be? The night I got saved, I was reading in Romans chapter 10, and it says, "For the same Lord over all is rich unto all who call upon him, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." And in John 3:16 there on the wall, it says, "For God so loved the world." I mean, an exclusive salvation? To use worldly language, I'd just say, you know, I'd have to say, get a grip. It's not an exclusive way to get to heaven. It's for whosoever will. And it includes everyone. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son." That whosoever, there it is again, whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. I don't know which word I love or I like the best. I personally like whosoever, because that's the translation that I was reading the night that I got saved. "Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." But I can remember when we got our first laptop, and I wanted to save. When I got the computer, they said, for $60, you know, if you leave it with us, we'll get it up and running for you. You know, load everything up. And I said, "Well, is it that difficult?" "Well, no, not really, but not if you kind of know what you're doing." Well, I pretended I kind of knew what I was doing, but I didn't. And so I thought, well, to save $60, I'll get it up and running myself. So I did get it up and running, but there were things that I didn't do that I should have done when it was starting up. And so it wouldn't work. Like, I forget what it was now, but there's two or three things that just wouldn't work. So Timothy Hyde, or he probably likes to go by Tim. Most people shorten their name or they do something. So I think it's Tim Hyde. He was into that business. So I was telling him about it. He said, "Oh yeah," he said, "I'll look at it for you." So I said, "Okay, I'll drop it off to you." So I dropped it off to him one day, and I said, "So I guess you'll need the password that I put in it to get into it." And he said, "Yeah, that would be nice." So I said, "It's whosoever." And he said, "Oh, you're a King James boy." So anyway, that was the whosoever. I like whosoever, but whoever works fine. "Whoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." And that includes each and every one that's here tonight. And God has provided the way. And it's available for all. You know, the first time we went to Florida, that was back before the day of Google Maps. And so I got a map out. Somebody told us, you know, don't go straight up the 95. You know, you're going to run into tremendous traffic. You know, cut through Connecticut and go down the 81 and cut across back in Pennsylvania or Virginia, I think it was. Anyway, they kind of gave me some numbers to go by, and or roads numbers to go by, and I spent hours mapping out our plan, our plan to get to Florida. How many miles there was kind of between turnoffs and header all down pat. And I was going to be the navigator, and my brother-in-law, Donald, was going to be the driver. And but I could have had that map, and I could have looked at it forever and a day. And if we wouldn't have jumped in the car and followed that map, we never would have got to our destination. And you're here tonight, and you know that the Lord Jesus gave his life on the cross. He satisfied the claims of God for the sin of the whole world. And he's just saying tonight, whoever believes in me shall not perish but have everlasting life. You can know that, but until you believe it for yourself, it'll not get you to heaven. Just like if we wouldn't get into the car and it took us right to the destination because we followed the map. Of course, now, like I said, Google Maps, you put it in and it says turn left here or 900 meters, turn off. It's so convenient. God's plan is so much more convenient. The work is done. You don't have to get out of your seat. Just come to him as you are. And like the hymn we were singing at the outset, you can say, I will go. I will go. Trust you will start on the homeward journey tonight.